Welcome to the Not Old Better Show Backstory Genealogy Series. I'm your host, Paul Bobelson, and this is episode number 208. As part of our Backstory Genealogy Series, joining us today is well-known, widely respected Dr. Carla Easter. Dr. Carla Easter is chief of the Education and Community Involvement Program at the National Human Genome Research Institute within the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Easter played a major role in the development of Genome, Unlocking Life's Code, and its accompanying website, and works with the K-12 and university community as a speaker on genomic science and career preparation.
And before coming to NHGRI, was at a sequencing center that was part of the Human Genome Project. And so I was very much involved in the whole process of introducing genomics to a whole new generation of students through our programs at the sequencing center, but also very much involved in the community, the ability for communities to access this information and to be able to apply it.
That, of course, is our guest today, Dr. Carla Easter, who, along with all of us in the Not Old Better audience, will be celebrating National DNA Day, April 25th, 2018. Please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show via internet telephone, Dr. Carla Easter. Dr. Carla Easter, welcome to the show.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Paul. It is an absolute pleasure to be here with you.
And a pleasure to be with you, too. You know, with National DNA Day coming up, this is a big day, and I want to spend a little time talking to you about it specifically, but let's start off generally. And I always like to find out, you know, from guests, what do some of these subjects mean to you? So what does National DNA Day mean to you personally, and then kind of a two-parter, mean to you personally as well as to NIH?
Now, DNA Day has been something that I came into being part of when I came here to the National Human Genome Research Institute in 2006. And at the time, we did a lot, we made a lot of efforts to make this a day that made DNA and genetics and genomics accessible to the public. And from a very personal perspective, that was important to me because this is something I've spent my life working in the field of genetics. And before coming to NHGRI, was at a sequencing center that was part of the Human Genome Project. And so I was very much involved in the whole process of introducing genomics to a whole new generation of students through our programs at the Sequencing Center, but also very much involved in the community, the ability for communities to access this information and to be able to apply it. And so when I came to the Genome Institute in 2006 and was part of the actual DNA Day program, it had a very special meaning for me because it seemed as if it were an opportunity for me to expand the work that I had been doing at the Sequencing Center and now to focus on DNA Day as a national endeavor. And so since that time, and now it's been nearly, you know, more than 10 years, I have been extremely excited about the way it has caught on, the way people have been getting more and more excited. You know, a little insider joke we have here is that, you know, we're so close to Earth Day that we hope one day to be as big as Earth Day. So it actually is kind of funny, you know, that we have this big, you know, this big push that we hope one day people will be running around wearing T-shirts that say DNA Day on them, just like they do Earth Day. So it's been a wonderful opportunity to see as genomics has grown and people have become closer to the ideas of how genetics can impact them and have positive effects on their health. It's been really exciting to see this become a day that gets us closer and closer to something like a National DNA Day holiday, which again is one of my secret hopes and dreams.
I share that. I will be celebrating with you all on the 25th, and I'm looking forward to it. And my audience certainly will be very aware of the sequencing and the many years of progress. And yeah. National DNA Day and NIH has a program that's known as 15 for 15. And
yes.
So I'd wonder if you'd tell us a little bit about that, because that's
sure.
fascinating part of this.
Sure. So I don't think I ever really got to. I told you so much about my personal experiences with DNA Day, but I didn't tell you about what it means to NIH. And
good.
I think the 15 for 15 is really indicative of that. Yeah. So for the NIH and especially the National Human Genome Research Institute, for us, DNA Day is really an opportunity to connect with the public. Not that we don't try to do that throughout the year, but DNA Day has very special meaning for us because, again, it really celebrates two very special things, one being the sequencing of the Human Genome Project and its completion back in 2003, and then also, you know, giving homage to the fact that Watson and Crick, during the same time in 1953, released their seminal paper on the structure of the DNA molecule, the double helix. And so for NIH, it really is sort of special for us as well, because again, it's a day that gives some historical perspective to all the things we know about DNA, but it also fast forward, thinking 50 years later, from that very, groundbreaking discovery, how it translated into then becoming the Human Genome Project. And in the same way, 15 years later, after starting DNA Day, we now arrive at the 15th anniversary of the sequencing of the Human Genome Project, which is where the 15 for 15 comes in. And this 15th anniversary, we felt it was very special. It was obviously every anniversary is special, but especially this one where we could now say that there are 15 exciting advances, and there probably are many more, but we've sort of settled on 15 exciting advances that really have been directly impacted by the Human Genome Project and really represent the future of what, you know, we hope genomics will do. But also, if you think about people looking at that and thinking about the first DNA Day and looking forward, you know, these are the kinds of things we would hope that if I could rewind myself to that first DNA Day, I would hope these are the type of advances that had occurred. And we are now celebrating them for the 15 business days leading up to April 25th.
Yeah, and I've had a chance to look at some of that, of course, and we'll put links up on our website to where you can find some of these great resources, these celebratory 15 days. And the activities of National DNA Day are really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And the page itself is great for ideas. So tell us a little bit about a couple of those activities. The one that jumped out at me as being important is, what does it mean to be human? And then the other one that I thought was really important for my audience, is the In and Beyond Africa. I think that's fascinating, too.
Yeah. So I will certainly speak to a couple of those. Each of these resources are projects that we have been directly involved in. And certainly the What Does It Mean to Be Human and In and Beyond Africa really do resonate, I think, with people because it really gets that kind of the major importance of why do we even study DNA as humans. And as much as we all love to think about the medical applications, which are very important, I think fundamentally many of us find a tie to the whole field of genetics and genomics because it helps us define ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps us give some sort of sense of our, not only our belonging to the greater greater ecosystem in which we live, but also really the fundamental questions of how do we identify ourselves. And so we've put forth a lot of resources that we hope can be very personal for people that go beyond just thinking about the basics, you know, DNA being, you know, A, T, C's, and G's, but really helping people find a way to connect with it And again, as you've pointed out, things like what it means to be human and In and Beyond Africa, which are these wonderful resources that people can access, but really thinking about how DNA can define our current existence, but how it defined us as an entire population through history, all the way back to our beginnings as Homo sapiens. So that, to me, is one of the wonderful hallmarks of this 15 for 15, because it allowed us to provide the public with a way to connect with DNA on many levels, such as things like our ancestry, understanding rare diseases, understanding applications such as, the type of understanding the structure of DNA, understanding how DNA and genomics has helped forensics evolve, how we think of the world around us in agriculture. So again, I think these are two wonderful examples of how we've been able to take DNA and create take the concept of the Human Genome Project and other aspects of genetics and genomics and create resources that will be of interest to people from who have very varied interests, but also being able to think about DNA in a way that's very accessible.
Today's show is sponsored by DNABargains.com. Check out DNABargains.com, where you'll find all things DNA testing. You'll also find Thomas McKenty's latest free ebook titled DNA Buying Guide, with a thorough, reputable rundown of the who, what, when, and where for all things DNA testing. That's DNABargains.com. Check out DNABargains.com to find out more about the $49 DNA test. Check out DNABargains.com. Thank you. We're with Dr. Carla Easter. Dr. Easter is the Chief of Education for the Human Genome Project. Dr. Easter, it's such a pleasure to talk to you, and I've had a chance to research you and your role, which is really, as you suggest, to promote science broadly, but in schools, and then to also, and I think that this is really an interesting point, and it's to also to promote the idea of becoming a scientist. So tell us about your work, how it's going, the progress, and then I found one project that I thought was really a neat one, and that is isolating DNA in strawberries. I think that's great.
Yeah, that's been sort of our not only my trademark activity, mm-hmm. but the branch here at the Genome Institute's trademark activity. So I'll start with the isolation of strawberry DNA, because I think it's just such a wonderful way for people to have the opportunity to see DNA. One of the first things we do when we tell people we're going to allow you to see DNA and we're going to take it out of a strawberry, oftentimes people will sort of look at me and say, I've never really thought that strawberries had DNA. It's one of those fundamental things that we kind of know, but we don't know. And it's an incredibly easy activity that just requires a little dishwashing detergent, some salt, and some rubbing alcohol, and you would be amazed at the amount of DNA that can come out of a strawberry. People are always asking me, can I do this at home? And I'm always saying, of course you can. You can do this at any place you have these very basic household items and strawberries available to you. I also think the wonderful thing is it's an activity that doesn't just resonate with students, which is where we really started doing it, was in classrooms, but I find that adults are easily excited and incredibly willing to partake in this activity. Because again, most of them will share with me, I've never seen DNA. I hear about it, I know about it, but I've never seen it. So it's one of those things that is an activity that can excite and amaze regardless of the age that you are. I've even thought about, I should start this thing where we have, we should use it as a birthday party activity. And we should take our activity on the road and do it for birthday parties, because what better way what better time to celebrate your DNA is on your birthday. Mm-hmm. So we've had a lot of fun with this. But that then is directly related to my role, which is someone who is really dedicated to making sure that people have the opportunity to be comfortable in this field of genetics and genomics and not have a fear of the science itself. And I have spent a lifetime being involved in making people aware of science and I hope in some ways making them comfortable with it. And so I love the way you said, creating scientists, because my goal has never been just to create scientists who end up working in labs, so to speak, but also thinking that making everyone feel that they themselves can be a scientist in their everyday lives. So the major thing that we do as scientists are ask questions. And so I'm very excited about the idea that we can bring to people a topic that, although is incredibly exciting, at times it makes them think more about the questions than the answers. And I think that's really the basis of being a scientist, is that you ask questions. And so I'm hoping that through our work that we do just that, that we encourage people to ask questions and to be lifelong learners. You know, somewhere along the line, when we're children, we ask nothing but questions. And then we become adults and we feel like we don't, you know, maybe we're embarrassed about it, but I just feel like we should be continuing to ask questions as much as possible. And that's always been my goal. And I've been very fortunate to be part of a discipline such as genomics that is full of nothing but questions, and it's okay to ask those. And so, as I said, my goal has really been to give people opportunities to explore this exciting field in a way that there is a comfort level for them and not be embarrassed or feel like they have to have all the answers, but that, you know, asking questions is exactly what we do and what we're supposed to do.
Dr. Carla Easter, what a pleasure it is to talk to you. Thank you so much for your time answering my questions today. I know how busy you are in advance of National DNA Day coming up April 25th. We're going to be celebrating, absolutely. I have a ton of questions for you, Dr.
Okay.
Easter, but I know you're busy, and I'm just going to ask one final question for you, and it's really kind of a follow-up to that, and that I wonder if you could give some advice to young people today about their careers in science, and and what can parents and grandparents, my audience, do to help you in that effort?
Yeah, I'll give my advice to parents and grandparents. So I am fortunate to be the aunt of two wonderful young women, my nieces, and two young, wonderful young men, my nephews. And I guess the advice that I always pass on to them is, you know, to follow your passion and be, you know, and explore as much as you possibly can. And from my perspective as their aunt, it's my job to encourage that exploration. And so I guess for parents and grandparents to encourage that exploration and, as I said before, encourage the love of asking questions and finding answers. And even if, you know, they don't end up being scientists at the NIH or any other sort of research facility, just the fact that they maintain that curiosity and become, sort of lay scientists, in that they will be willing to ask questions so that they become well-informed and well-educated about the world around them. And then I think for students, following a passion has always been something very important to me. But even in following a passion, being very flexible and not being, so willing to, you need a path, but as I always say, sometimes we need not find the way will find us. So being open to all opportunities that present themselves, especially in science, and not being afraid to explore those types of sciences that you may never have thought about before. Science is becoming far more integrated than it is siloed. You know, we have astronauts who are sequencing their DNA in space. We have people who are thinking about, from a very mechanical perspective, how a cell works. We now have computers that are helping us figure out the great questions about life and the biology of the cell and of other organisms. And so, again, I think being as varied in your interest, you know, at one time, you know, we wanted people to be very focused. I think now is just a wonderful opportunity for people to be very expansive in their thinking, but also being very willing to, you know, take a different path and not have to follow the path that has already been set. So I guess, I mean, I think about how different the world is now and how students are so used to multitasking, and it's like the perfect time to be a multitasker, because that's all that science is right now, is about multitasking and sort of, you know, finding your way into and out of various disciplines and, you know, in some ways hoping something sticks, but if it doesn't, that's okay. So I guess, I don't know if that's a helpful advice, but again, I just think having fun with it and not feeling like you have to be tied to any one thing.
That is very helpful advice. The idea of thinking about science in terms of multitasking is an eye-opening. That's fantastic, Dr. Easter. Thank you. What a wonderful conversation with you, Chief of Education for the Human Genome Project. What we know about you is that your work is very important, Dr. Easter, and we're so grateful that you're spending time with us today. National DNA Day coming up on April 25th. We will be celebrating. We're also going to encourage our audience to ask those questions and seek those answers. But thank you so much, Dr. Easter.
It has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much. And again, I put another plug in. Happy DNA Day. And I hope everybody has as much fun as that day on that day as we are going to have here at the Genome Institute.
We're going to make sure that everybody knows about this. Thanks so much, Dr. Easter. What a pleasure.
Thank you.
My thanks to our guest today, Dr. Carla Easter, Chief of the Education and Community Involvement Program at the National Human Genome Research Institute within the National Institutes of Health. Links to NIH's genome research site, along with a link to where you can find Dr. Easter herself, will be on our site. As usual, we will post links there and to everything else. And also, as usual, my thanks to you, the listeners, for joining me today. Your time is valuable, and I'm grateful you're spending some of it with me. I'm always interested in feedback, and you can leave that at iTunes, Google Play, or send me email at info@notold-better.com. Check out our next show, another great one, as we talk about better. The Not Old Better Show. Thanks, everybody.